If you were here, you'd remember that. And if not, I'll tell you that Pastor Johnny was speaking about the second coming of Jesus, more specifically about the words that Jesus gave us about his second coming. And it was all about the preparation. Now, one thing that I really, really appreciated and something that kind of affirmed in me what I was going to be speaking on this week was the way he ended his sermon. He came up with the benediction and he said that one of the greatest, one of the most powerful and important tools God has given us to be prepared for the second coming of Christ is the community. It's each other. It's you and me working together. So that's exactly what I'm going to be speaking on today. The main verse that I'm going to be using is found in Hebrews chapter 10. It's going to be verses 24 and 25. This is going to be my focus. I will jump around a bit. Now, in my week of preparation, I was a little unsure. I was searching through a bunch of verses, and I was kind of not sure of what I was going to say. I only had a week, and usually it takes me 2 weeks or more to be ready for a message. And as I was flipping through my Bible and contemplating what I was going to speak on, I came to Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And in my Bible, there's these really neat little they're little lessons. They're called Essentials of the Christian Faith. And I started reading it. And as I started reading this thing, it was about Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 10. And it just blew me away that it was very similar to what I was already contemplating and planning. So I started reading it. And what I decided was that I was going to use it today as a guideline for my message. And we're going to walk through it and the scriptures, if that's all right with you guys. So Hebrews 10. Verses 24 and 25 say, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I got a new King James Bible here, and the first time I read that, I was like, what? I did not understand that at first. So I had to read it many times in many different translations. So that's a big part of what we're going to get into today. God calls Christians to avoid any discrepancies between what they say they believe and what they practice. And yet, plenty of people who identify themselves as Christians are not actively involved in a local congregation of believers. In other words, many Christians seem to regard regular participation in a local church as optional. You see, the New Testament instructs us very differently. The New Testament is the Bible. The author of Hebrews declares, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another." So, as I read that, I was kind of thinking about it. I got curious. So I went online, and that's usually a dangerous thing for me because I do too much research and I get too focused on the wrong things. But what I came across was an interesting survey that's been going on. I forget the name of the survey, but it's been going on since 1978. And what they have been doing is gathering information about, in America, about people. And the first question that they ask is, are you a believer? Do you believe in Christ? Or do you identify as a Christian? In 2016, 73% of Americans said they do, that they do identify as a Christian or believe in God in some way. However, only 31% of that 73% said that they regularly attend church or some sort of Christian gathering and the pursuit of Christ. I found that really interesting. What was even more staggering to me was that in 1984, the exact same survey was taken, and the result was that 81% of Americans said that they went to church, or said that they were Christians and believed in Christ, and 71% practiced it. 71% were actively involved in some sort of gathering of Christians. So I had to think about it, and I was wondering, why is there such a decline? Why is there such a change? What's happened? Now, I think that there's many, many reasons. Some of them could be as simple as the survey, the demographic of who they surveyed. But I guess partly my opinion and my observation is that, number one, I think that the gospel sometimes is not preached with authority. I think that sometimes, I'm not saying that this is an issue of our church, I definitely don't believe it is, but in many churches, I think preaching the gospel with authority and importance to a key to our lives is something that we, in many churches, have lost. And the second is that I believe it has become increasingly more difficult to be a Christian in this North American culture. A lot of what we talk about, a lot of what the Bible says, is quite countercultural to what our world accepts and believes in. So what I have here is five reasons that every Christian should be an active member of a local church or congregation of believers. The first is the body of Christ. You see, every Christian is a member of the universal or global church, the spiritual body of Christ. Part of becoming a Christian is being united with other believers into one body, the church. This invisible union is expressed in hundreds of thousands of localized communities of believers around the world. The characteristics of a universal church, which are fellowship, unity, spiritual gifts, the indwelling of the Spirit, and a mission to the world, are to be worked out and practiced in individual churches. To be part of the universal church without being part of a local church is to miss out on God's plan to manifest the reality of Christ to the world and to you. So when it says that those who are part of the universal church, this is in reference to basically anybody who has accepted with their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So basically, if you are a Christian, automatically you are included in this global church of other Christians. What this is saying is that there needs to be an emphasis on the gathering together of these Christians in these localized places like we have here in many churches. But don't get me wrong as I go forward. When I say church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm not talking about what you see on TV where they got lights and they got fog machines and lasers going all over the place. No, much rather, I'm talking about the congregation, the gathering of Christians who believe in the pursuit of Jesus Christ. That's church. Where you meet doesn't matter. It's the fact that it's gathering to meet with Christ. So you are automatically a part of the universal church if you've given your heart to Christ. And what this is saying is that, again, it's very important that we meet together because we are much stronger together. The second point is maturity. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes that Christians should live, minister, and work together in community so that they can experience the fullness of Christ. The body of Christ becomes stronger and more mature when every member participates. To the degree that individual Christians isolate themselves from the rest of the body of Christ, they delay their own maturity and slow the growth of the entire body. I'm going to read that one more time. To the degree that individual Christians isolate themselves from the rest of the body of Christ, they delay their own maturity and slow the growth of the entire body. You see, there's a couple of reasons here. And there's a couple of things going on. In life, naturally, as we grow up, as we grow older, in a general speaking, we mature. We learn more as we go to school and as we spend time with other people learning from them, we slowly mature and learn what's right and wrong in the world. Very much so is the exact same with being a Christian, that as you live out your Christian life, as you read the scripture, as you meet with other Christians and pray, you learn more. You mature in your faith. You start to let go of what the world has to offer and start to accept and believe in what Christ has to offer. There is a massive benefit, an incredible benefit in more mature Christians. So Christians who have maybe been in the faith for longer, Christians who have been a part of ministry for a lot of their life, there is a huge benefit to those who are mature in faith to minister to those who are maybe new to the faith, who are maybe a little younger. But you see, if we isolate ourselves and if we think that we can take on this growth in Christ by ourselves. I'm not saying that it's impossible, definitely not. But what I am saying is that it is incredibly difficult. Trust me, I know this from experience. It is very difficult to grow in Christ if you're doing it by yourself. And as such, even the body suffers. If we're a whole group of people trying to do this Christian thing by ourselves, we're going to be pretty empty churches in no time. The third point here is spiritual gifts. You see, God has given every Christian, grace in the form of spiritual gifts. These individual gifts of grace are intended for the building up of the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of believers so the church can continue to change the world. Certainly, people can find ways to express their spiritual gifts outside the gathering of the church, but these gifts of grace are primarily given to enable Christians to complete the work of God's kingdom on this earth. If you're not actively engaging in the body of Christ, you'll not be touched and strengthened by the gifts of others. More importantly, you will not be using the gifts God has given you, the gifts the church needs. The church can only grow when all of its members contribute in the unique ways God has equipped each person. So what I want to do is I want to quickly look at what 1 Corinthians 12 says about spiritual gifts. Verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, the prophet for all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another the gift of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, yet to another speaking in tongues, and to others interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." See, there's nothing that we as people can do to attain these spiritual gifts. There's nothing that we can do on our own to build them, to make them, to figure them out. Spiritual gifts are God's blessing, God's gifts to us through the Holy Spirit. And he deems how we are best fit, what gifts best fit us. But these gifts are not meant for us to hoard to ourselves. I would even stretch this a little bit further to say that the talents and abilities and passions that God has birthed in you and has grown in you are also things that are not meant to be kept to ourselves. You see, as this says, if we have these spiritual gifts that are made and put into us by a God who decided what ones fit us best, if we decide not to use those to strengthen and encourage each other and to bless each other, they're going to go to waste. We don't use them. See, this is a big part of being the body of Christ. This is a big part of our community, is relying on each other. If we're going through difficult times, we are encouraged, through what Hebrews 10 here says, we are encouraged to bless each other, to help each other through a difficult time, through loss, through pain, through sin. We are here for each other, and that's why we have these spiritual gifts. Gifts of wisdom and knowledge and healing and miracles, these are all to benefit the body of Christ. The fourth reason here is a funny one. It's peer pressure. See, Scripture tells us that a healthy form of peer pressure can change us when we participate in something bigger than ourselves. When we are around people who consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, we're more likely to be stirred up ourselves. Exhorting one another is how we challenge and how we challenge to grow in Christ. The local church is God's primary venue for such spiritual transformation. This falls into part of what I was just talking about, the fact that we are encouraged, blessed, and able to encourage each other. I mean, it says to stir up love and good works. To me, this really means that we are to encourage each other to love those that we work with, to love those that we live with, to love each other. It also means that if, I would say that if a Christian is backsliding, I would also say that if a Christian or a family is, let's say they slowly stop coming to church, they stop communicating with us, then I believe what this is saying is that it is on us to hold them accountable, not to force them to come back, not to say you have to be here, you're not a Christian or something like that, but to love them. We need to know why people are leaving the church. We need to know why people stop coming. And I think where the real damage is when we don't do anything about it. So a big thing here that hit me hard for sure is encouraging each other, is reaching out, of not just hoping somebody else does it. You know, well, the pastors will reach out to that family that's struggling. They'll do the work. No, we are all part of the same body under the one God. It is our job. And here's the fifth and final reason. It's perseverance. On a very personal level, your ability to stay the course as a Christian is directly linked to your participation in the body of Christ. Our enemy, Satan, constantly seeks to detour God's people away from God's path. Those who fail to meet regularly with other believers will be more likely to give up in the face of temptation, discouragement, or problems. This one hit me like a rock when I was reading it. You see, any one of my close friends can tell you that I personally go through these very interesting times in my life where my intent is, if I've, let's say I've been investing a lot or I've been working a lot and I get really tired, I say to myself, I just need a day or a couple of days or a week. But what ends up being just a week of drawing back from responsibility and taking a break far too easily, and I don't think I'm the only one who this happens to, far too easily can become a month, a couple of months, and at the greatest time in my life was almost an entire year. What happens in this time is I think to myself, I'll just kind of draw back with my responsibilities. I'll just let other people take over for a little while. I'll still read scripture. I'll still pray, you know, I'll still go to church. But what ends up happening is I draw back from the community. I fade away from the community. And instead of reading scripture with passion and heart, because I'm trying to do it alone, I find that there's no life in the scripture for me. That my prayers are just quick and to get them over with as a ritual. Now, by no means am I saying that we are not supposed to or shouldn't take time to ourselves. Because even if we look at the life of Jesus, Jesus would escape the crowds. He would get away from them. He would even hide from them to have time by himself, to have time with God in the scripture and through prayer and to just recuperate. I mean, Jesus loved the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, I'm sure that that means that we are supposed to have time to ourselves. But where the danger lies is when we don't come out of that. It's when we don't release that and come back to the community. You see, I got to be honest with you guys. The last time I spoke, up until last Sunday, I was in one of those. I've had this for so long in my life that I found a very good way of hiding it from those around me and making it seem like I'm okay, and I think we all kind of do that. So what ended up happening was, last time I preached, I invested and I invested and I invested, and I put so much of my heart and soul into it. I read the scriptures and commentaries and listened to sermons, you name it, just so that I could get it right. And then what happened was the day came and I spoke and I was exhausted. I had nothing left in me. And so I said, well, I'll just break. I'll just take some time to not read scripture, not to, you know, do churchy things. I didn't come out of that until last Sunday. That was like 2 months. You see, so this is what ended up happening. I'm thinking to myself Sunday evening after Johnny spoke, I'm thinking, okay, this is my shot, this is my chance, I'm gonna get back into the scripture, I'm gonna start praying, I'm gonna get it all right, and God, you and I are just gonna like nail this message and everyone's gonna be changed forever. And I'm gonna like, yeah, right? And I'm gonna take every night and every single night, I'm gonna devote to you, God. Every night I'm gonna devote to making this sermon, because I only got 1 week and it took me 2 weeks last time. And in the middle of me getting all pumped up, all I can hear is God, "Hey, Devin." I'm like, "Yeah, what's up?" And he's like, "I need you to make plans this week." Excuse me, God? "I need you to make plans. And if you don't have to make plans, but if somebody calls you or wants to be with you or spend time with you, or if the opportunity is in front of you, I need you to take it." "God, I don't know if you heard me right. I'm trying to prepare for this message. I'm going to give you every night this week." And God's like, okay. "How about you give me every night by being with somebody?" I'm like, "How is that supposed to help me with community? How is that supposed to help me learn about how to teach the church about community, God, right?" So every night this week, God filled my time in such incredible ways, especially because I was just coming out of this isolation stage in my life. Monday night, or actually every night, God did something fantastic, but Monday night, God taught me that when I isolate myself, when I hide in myself and try to do this alone, that I fall into my own ways of doing things. I become impatient, looking for quick and easy ways out of tough situations. I become easily agitated. I let things slip and slide that I wouldn't normally do. I start to rely on my own strength, and I start to fail. God showed me on Monday evening that I need to be in tune with the community and with Him. But the way to be in tune with Him is to be in tune with the community. On Tuesday night, God put in front of me a very, very good friend of mine who is a much wiser Christian. Somebody who has been in the faith for a long time, who has been in evangelism for a very long time. Through this meeting on Tuesday night, God showed me the importance, the deep importance of spending time with Christians with the intent of learning, with the intent of meeting with more mature Christians, or if you are a more Christian, with the intent of teaching. Wednesday night, God put in front of me another one of my best friends, a friend of mine that I have been able to confide in for years and years and years. We've been able to talk about each other's struggles, and though our road has been bumpy and hard at times, God showed me that through His community, we can rely on each other through the hard times, through the temptations and the trials, that through the community of Christ and Christ alone, we can rely on each other through our hard times. Thursday night, God showed me and put in front of me another one of my best friends that has always been an encouragement to me. No matter what time we hang out or whatever we do, this person has always shown me the value of being in community, of getting out of my comfort zone, of trying new things. This has been a friend who has always encouraged me and pushed me in my faith many, many times. Friday night, I met with family and with my father, and through that, God showed me the community of using spiritual gifts, of wisdom and knowledge to speak into my life about hard questions that I have, about difficulties that I don't understand. Then on Saturday in the morning, yesterday, God allowed my morning to just be free, free of everything, free of all distraction, and I was able to go for a long walk, pray, read the scripture, seek God one-on-one. He showed me the value in that. And then in the afternoon, the Lord showed me the value of having fun with fellow believers. My roommate is an awesome guy, and we like to play video games and just kind of hang out. And we were able to do that together in the evening. Without the stress of worrying about the message or anything, we were able to just have fun. You see, this is God's desire, a daily desire for us. It doesn't mean that God wants to fill every single one of our days with community, but it does mean that God has incredible blessings through community. Incredible blessings. When I was reading these and looking at every day that God filled every one of these, I cannot explain the blessing, because I was in community. I was able to let go of all of these things. I was able to come out of my isolation stage, and God desires that for us. My message is not meant to be anything intimidating, but meant to be an encouragement to those of us who often isolate ourselves, who try to do things on our own. My message this morning is to bless you and encourage you to stretch, to reach, to allow the community to share in your burdens, in your trials, in your temptations, in your joys and your laughters. That is my message for you today, that we do not do this alone, that as a community of believers, we love together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 again say, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as the worship team comes back up, Lord God, I thank you that you have blessed me so much this week and given me passion, but I pray so much more, Lord God, for this body of believers, for this group of Christians, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would bless us in unity with one another, that you would encourage us to be with each other, to bless each other, to love each other, to push each other at times. Lord God, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that every one of us is encouraged to be involved in your community, whether that means the ministries that the church has or if it means just being together with other Christians in the pursuit of you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your blessings. Amen.
Let's stand.